Flynn. I'm a master healer who works with all earthlings to reunite them within themselves and with each other, regardless of the dimension they're currently in. Meaning, I'm a medium as well as an animal communicator, medical intuitive, and channel for all beings. I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support animals and humans as they heal from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. I think it's fair to say that most people, when they think of me and the services that I offer as far as animal communication goes, that it's generally thought that I communicate with soft and furry and perhaps cuddly animals. It's true that I do communicate with those, both domesticated and animals in the wild. I also communicate with scaled relatives in the animal family. I communicate with feathered relatives of our animal family. And it's interesting because perhaps people might be surprised to know that I also communicate with tree and plant beings. And I think that as humans, we sometimes have categories of how we think about animals, right? Again, as I said, we typically think of furry animals first, then maybe perhaps the more creative looking ones, then perhaps, and maybe even before the creative looking ones, the scary ones. But whatever your order is, as I said, chances are good that you don't think about maybe the plants and or trees as sentient beings. There certainly are a number of books that will illuminate that for you, and I'll put links to all of those books into the podcast notes. And if you ever haven't heard about Rachel Carson, I would invite you to get yourself to your closest interwebs and Google Rachel Carson. She really was, I think, a pioneer in ecology way back in 1962 when she wrote her pivotal book, Silent Spring. She was a marine biologist that, after World War II, became aware that the widespread use of pesticides, you know, DDT and the like, were threatening to alter the very trees and plants that I don't think they were meant to alter, except perhaps to get rid of the insects that, at least from the plant and tree perspective, are kind of a natural part of their life cycle. Because, again, if we pull back the big picture, is that everything on this planet is both light and shadow, because it's currently a planet of duality, and everything operates in balance with each other, with the exception of the human species. And we'll get to that in just a second. So that if there's a particular plant growing in the ground, it is probably pretty much the norm that it is also going to have other beings that use part of that plant for their own life cycle. The deal is, though, that in a, I guess for lack of a better word, pristine planet and absent human alteration and human influence, there's a very delicate but actually at the same time set in stone balance so that the insects would never overwhelm that plant, and likewise the plant would never overtake any other plant that happens to be in its particular vicinity. I mean, I think it's popular these days to talk about invasive species of both four-legged, two-legged, etc., animal beings, but also to talk about invasive species as far as plants are concerned. And yes, I think that's very true and very valid and authentic to say that a particular ecosystem, I don't know, let's pick the Everglades because that's what's coming to me down in Florida, has been dramatically affected and altered by both plant invasive species, i.e. not native to that particular ecosystem, as well as animal species that are not native to that particular ecosystem. And I think for humans, we try and try and try to get to the bottom of how it is that this works so beautifully together. And I know that there are beings in human experience, like Rachel Carson, who would also like us to understand much better about that particular ecosystem, and even more so, how we as beings in human experience are really empowered to either be the co-creator with those ecosystems and making them the best that they can be, or we will be the executioner of said ecosystems. And that's where Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, comes in. And when I did a fast little search on all the books that have been written about trees and plants and animal sentient beings, because make no mistake, they are as sentient. And I don't like to rank them. I don't like to put them in a hierarchy because they don't put themselves in a hierarchy. So I won't do that. But just a fast search says that the first book that was written about the secret life of trees was back in 2006 by Colin Tudge. I'm going to pronounce it Tudge, and I do apologize if I am not saying that correctly. That was followed 10 years later by The Hidden Life of Trees, 2016, and that might resonate with you just because it was more recent, by Peter Wolenben. And again, my apologies for not pronouncing that name correctly. There also was a book in 2019 entitled If Trees Could Talk by a Holly Warden. And the bottom line is that the more that beings in human experience step into and commune with not only the furred and feathered and scaled animal relatives, but also the ones who happen to have bark and branches and leaves and flowers, family members, will we be able to understand not only more about them, but we will also get a very clear mirror image of ourselves. And I'm going to share with you the first time that I communed with an orchid, as it turns out. And I guess I would say, probably as a backstory to this, I'm quite fond of talking to my plants. My plants know me really well. And I'd like to think that I know them really well. And they would say immediately, well, yes, you do know us well, only if you continue to listen to us. Because just like with cats, dogs, birds, iguanas being different from each other and having different animal experience needs, plants and trees as well, as we all know, and you might be saying, well, duh, have different physical experience needs as well. Some of them need a lot of light. Some of them don't need any light at all. As a matter of fact, don't do well with a lot of light. Some just need a little bit of water, like our succulent friends. Some others need a bunch of water. And I guess maybe I would put bamboo in that. And I know that bamboo, at least my bamboo in my house, is in rocks and water. But the point being is that they are as different amongst each other and their own species as all the other animal beings on the planet. And I think it's important to talk to your plants. I think it's important to understand what their physiological needs are and to understand that they are also an extension of the energy environment that you co-create no matter where you are. That could be your home, that could be your office, that could be out in nature. I mean, it could be out in your garden. I think there was a point in time where perhaps it was considered to borrow a phrase, kind of hippy-dippy. If you were to talk to your plants, you're talking to your plants, and you know there's cartoons and things like that about them. They're incredibly sentient, and I would not be at all surprised if you might get some comments back about what you're saying to them. And I'll see if I can find before I publish the podcast. I'm aware that there was a pretty well-known experiment about different plants that, I don't know, maybe kids in grade school did in one of their science class when they were able to be together in science class, where they would plant the same kind of seedlings and the same kind of dirt, etc. And things were said to that one group of plants of, you're just absolutely beautiful. Oh, you're so green. You're growing. I just love you. I think you're absolutely fabulous. The other group of plants was, I don't like you at all. I don't think you're growing really well. I don't like the color that you are. Not surprisingly, energy being energy, the plants that were bathed, literally, and really positive energy via words, via intentions, etc., because all the other physiological light, soil, water, temperature, etc., were exactly the same, fared better than those plants on the other end of the spectrum, who again, light, soil, temperature, water, etc., was all the same, but they were bathed instead in shadow energy intentions, to put it that way. And so I would invite you to talk to your plants. I would invite you to, if you notice your plants not doing well, say, you're not doing well. Your leaves are limp, or you're not blooming as much. Have you simply reached the end of your life cycle? I actually have a few orchid plants that I just adore, but I'm well aware that they might have reached the end of their life cycle, at least as far as blooming goes. And I'm also well aware that the blooms are mostly for me. And so then I have discussions with myself about, we really need to keep these orchid plants because they're still alive. And then it gets into all of that. And we don't really need to go there today. I wouldn't be at all surprised if you would hear something back. I wouldn't be at all surprised if you got a little tingle of, yes, I would like some more water. Oh, thank you so much. I think this light works perfectly for me. The same goes for grouping plants together, that when you bring a new plant into your home, to a certain extent, I do think it's wise on the physiological standpoint to keep it separate from your other plants, maybe just for a couple of days, to make sure that it didn't carry any invasive species that aren't compatible with all your other plants into your home or your setting, whatever, wherever it happens to be. And then to see whether the plants are happy together, where they can kind of peacefully coexist, so that you might have all of your succulents on one shelf, so they're grouped all together and they understand the humidity that each one of them generates together, and they understand how this is working. The same thing is true if you're outside in your garden. I mean, everybody knows which plants need which kind of soil if you're a gardener. And you also understand that, okay, it's good to group these together, but then we need to also group these together. They know who plays well with the other and which ones don't. But back to my conversation about the orchid, so I can finish this up. It was really interesting because, as I said, it was the first time that I had really talked with a plant being. It's probably more accurately that a plant being chose to share with me. My client was a woman who owned a flower shop. She loved owning the flower shop. She was really happy there. But it was so interesting because she had contacted me with some guidance and some support because she was feeling like she wasn't doing enough, that somehow she had maybe missed her calling, or that she should be doing more to serve the planet, more to interact more directly with people in a healing way. And yes, I'm sure there are some of you out there who would say, oh my gosh, owning a flower shop where you bring so much joy to so many people, you're surrounded by green, growy things all the time. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty ideal to me. But it was so interesting to me because in addition to my giving her that kind of support, there was also Orchid, capital O, that spoke up and talked to her through me. And just as a reminder, humans are default as individual awareness. So that, say, for instance, we see, a hummingbird, or we see a crow, or we see a raven. In this case, it happened to be an orchid. We tend to kind of zero in and we say, oh, that orchid, small o, as in that individual plant, was talking to me. That could not be further from the truth. So that when you connect with Orchid, capital O, I was interviewed on a radio show just this past week. Maybe I'll put a link in for that in the podcast notes. And the interviewer was asking me a question. She and I had talked previously about talking with elephant, and I made a point to say it's elephant, capital E. So that in that particular moment and experience, yes, that individual light being and that individual experience is communicating with you and giving you that message. That individual light being in that animal plant experience is also communicating and translating from the collective awareness that belongs to that particular animal or plant experience. So in this particular situation, this orchid could not contain themselves and said to this woman, how can you possibly imagine that your life has been a waste? You nourish us. You give us everything possible that we could need to look and to feel as fabulous as possible. You help us get into the right homes where the people who come and adopt us, because truly it is like an adoption process, adopt us from you, understand about what it is that we need as far as temperature and soil and sustenance and light in their home. But you also are the messenger for plants everywhere of how much we care, number one, first and foremost, about each other. And number two, then by extension, because frankly to them there is no difference, how we care about all of you. And Orchid said, without you, I would not be able to carry my blessings into all of the homes that you have helped me carry into. And I got to tell you, my client was just blown away, as was I to a certain extent, how incredibly reframing of her entire life path this message was for her. She recognized that she was in partnership with all of the plant beings whose experiences and whose life paths she had touched up until that point. That was a huge reset for her. They illuminated for her how important it was to the planet and for herself that she did professionally what she did. She was being of service. She was facilitating for light beings and plant experience, as well as facilitating for light beings in human experience. As I said, I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, I honestly can't imagine a better message on this planet at this point in time to know that you have been of service to as many other light beings and whatever experience they happen to be in as possible. At least that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. Reach out if you think I can be of service via www.lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time.